The Holiday Island Suburban Improvement District Board of Commissioners is in session for a work session. It is Monday, September 15th, 9 a.m. We will stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
It's a work session, it's got to be informal. We'll start off with a clubhouse sign proposal. I know we've got a few now. I'm going to leave up to Rich to explain what we've got. Rich, I did look at the one you sent via email.
Yeah.
And it looked like the sign was twice the size we were asking for. It's like 5 by 10 or something?
Yeah, it is. It's, well, it's the same height, but same, or a little bit taller, but the same width. And then the sign above, it's just a solid sign. And this price that we got from this guy, well, yeah. Bill, is turnkey. I mean, they come in, take the old sign down, put the new sign up, wire it, everything. I mean, we don't have to do anything. They come in and do it all.
The only thing I question, and maybe you know, is that I recall if it was this guy or the other guy wanted 2 20-amp breakers.
That was the other guy.
And I don't know what's there now powering up the old sign.
I don't.
But I don't understand why they would need 40 amps to run LEDs.
Yeah, I don't either.
It just seemed a bit of overkill on the power.
Hate to interrupt. Can we go ahead and take a roll call just because it's a recording, just to know who's present?
Oh, okay.
Just
Secretary can take the roll.
Thanks. Commissioner Roser here. Commissioner Reagan?
Here.
Commissioner Stith?
Here.
Commissioner Pinkley?
Here.
And Commissioner Rupp?
Here.
All right.
I apologize. That's right. Work session. I don't really
well, it's for the recording.
I'm wanting to go by is what I have.
Yeah, and I didn't know why that. I didn't know why that guy needed 220 or 220-amp breakers, but I mean, this one's got, he's got it broke down pretty good. The one thing with this price here is it's the 8 millimeter LEDs, and you could go with the Cadillac of the 6 millimeter LEDs, but this one is based off the 8 millimeter LEDs, which is a little bit lower price. But I mean, yeah, the square footage of it and everything was a lot bigger. It was a, yeah, because we're going, the existing sign was up to 40 square feet. And this one is what, 60, I think it was?
Which one are you talking about? Which from the?
The one with the Alpha 510.
Can you put that up on screen?
This one here. Oh, yes.
And the reason this one caught my eye is, like I said, because it's complete turnkey. They come and they take the old sign down, they put the new sign up, they wire it and everything.
You're talking about the Alpha.
Yep. Yep. And then the other ones, I mean, there were some of these that we had to take and rebuild the brackets to fit. We had to take the old one down. Another one we had to get. They were going to get us in connection with an electrician to come in and wire it because they didn't do the wiring. I mean, there was just several different areas in these.
Yeah, for instance, the one I see for Stewart Signs is $35,000, but I know that they don't include install.
Yep.
An install can be anywhere from $1,000 to $3,000. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And the installs can be anywhere from $1,000 to $3,000 typically for this size sign.
Yep.
But there's still, my thing is, we're still not in my comfort zone where I was from last meeting. We're still in a $40,000 range, roughly, plus.
Exactly.
I think the one I'm looking at, they want $900 for an install.
Yeah, like I said, it'd be $1,000 to $10,000.
Yeah.
You got to find a local installer, and so.
But this Alpha 510, to me, looks, this is a quick reading, I just got it, so just looking through it. And another thing I've noticed, when I drive down the highway, and I particularly did this for a reason, Like when I would go to Fayetteville or Rogers or.
Can you turn your microphone on, please? Thank you.
And the signs that are, you know, that are flashing along the road, you notice them a lot more, you know, if they're flashing. You notice them a lot more than you do just driving down the road. It just brings your attention to stuff. I just like the food places that have, you know, restaurants on there. Sign flashes that noon meal, something, you just, it kind of catches your eye. I think that's an important thing. And it'll, I hope the sign has, I'm sure it has that ability.
Just keeping in mind that per the city's sign requirements though, I mean, I agree with you, those ones are flash or something like that. The city's, and maybe you know this from your planning side, the city code basically says it has to be a clean transition, like what's that?
Eight seconds.
So there's.
Yeah, yeah.
It just, yeah.
In the zoning of it, we said we didn't want the residents, it was too much of a distraction.
Right.
So there has to be a delay between.
Yeah, the transition, it has to be a transition, I think.
Yes.
The other question I have is, I know that we'd have to do, going back to the ordinance, we'd have to get a variance from the city. So what's the timing on this, if we were, any of these?
This one is 6 weeks. 6 weeks to build, and then by the time they get it up here and installed, I mean, you're looking.
So technically, we might, if we went with that one, be able to get under the wire and not require a variance.
I wouldn't push the envelope. I would take the specs to the city and just ask for a variance, and that way you're all covered. It's not that big a deal.
And then.
And we should be somewhat grandfathered in since we're still going in between the original piers.
Right, it's an R&R, really.
Yeah.
So my last point, and I keep beating the drum, but $40,000, how are we doing on our budget for the year? Because that's a big expense for a location that I'm still not optimal. I'm still not on board with the optimal location clubhouse. If we had this on the highway, somewhere over there, if we're gonna spend $40,000 where people are pointing this way to the clubhouse, it makes more sense to this kind of a sign. But right where the clubhouse is right there, we're gonna spend $40,000 on an LED sign, doesn't make sense for me.
Well, I can tell you, we need to put a billboard on the highway, not a flashing sign. Because you know what? It's $100 a month for electricity for that sign.
So
on the highway, $100 a month.
But we're gonna have $100 a month wherever we
go. No, we aren't, because it's not gonna cost us an extra meter. It's not gonna cost us all that extra money to have that sign that out on the highway, which it would we have the electricity, it don't cost us $100 a month to run that sign.
Either way, I guess that's where I'm at. I was hoping we would get the signs down to reasonable.
Well, you
can't. Like around the $20,000.
We got all these bids and there's not one sign that's even close.
Okay, well, like you said, I'm one vote.
That's right, you got one vote.
We're not voting today.
No, I know.
Merely a discussion as to moving forward with, do we need a sign? Do we want a sign? How can we pay for it?
And I'm starting budgets this week. So we're gonna start working on the budgets for next year, trying to crunch numbers, see what we got with everything we got left to do. Water tower, we gotta figure out what we're gonna do with the insurance company for the VersaBoom mower and all this other stuff. So budget's gonna be all this week with the departments, and then we can come up with the final line of what we got. This is just so you guys can see the numbers, you know, talk over what we think about the signs, and then we're gonna have to try and figure out where we're gonna get the money.
Well, I think the money is in capital improvement, and that's probably the most logical way to pay for it, because it is a capital improvement. We have any discussion from the public?
Just kidding. Again, if we were going to spend this kind of money and we decided at some point to put it on the highway, where would we be able to get access? Do we have property that we have right there that we'd be able to use from Heisen?
We could put it over there, off the highway across from like Wolf's where we own right away. It'd have to set back towards the golf course, but we have that right away there by the, what hole is that?
15.
Thank you.
15.
Yeah, we have right away.
The issue there though is now we gotta pay a contractor to run power to that.
But if we're talking long term.
We don't need power.
And we're talking long term to be able to.
If you want to do a digital sign out there, we could pull power off the water tower to feed it, but we'd have to pay a meter fee, you know, you'd have to have its own meter. And it'd be a little bit shorter distance to try and get power to it, but that'd be your only option.
Because diverting traffic to me, looking from an advertising perspective, we're advertising most people that are already here if we put it at the clubhouse. But if we put it on the highway, we would be getting people that would be just driving through saying, oh, look, I've got a Mexican restaurant, I've got, you know, the pizza, that's all I have, and keep going, maybe there's something else. So I'm just saying, if you're gonna advertise and spend that kind of money, I'd rather divert traffic into Holiday Island on Holiday Island Drive.
You're not gonna divert nothing into Holiday Island doing that sign. Put a billboard out there, put the sign where it belongs at the golf course.
David, my argument for it being at the clubhouse is it gives Misty and Mark the ability to advertise daily for people that live here in Holiday Island.
They could do that on the highway too.
People in Holiday Island don't leave Holiday Island. They stay right here. They would never see that sign. They wouldn't see that it's closed on Tuesday. They wouldn't see that there's going to be a live band at the clubhouse on Thursday night.
Yeah, still, I'm not understanding.
And
I think it's more to inform the locals of what's going on at the clubhouse.
That's, to me, again, I hear you.
And if we had a billboard out on the highway saying restaurant or the Holiday Island Grill, and then they pull into house, then they'll see that sign and see what's up today, the specials today, what's going on.
Yeah,
The only downfall about the digital sign being out on the highway also would be the Wi-Fi for programming it. I mean, you'd have to probably get some kind of a hardwired internet out there, which is another additional cost, probably.
So, at least one of the signs that I know of that I researched, they have the internal routers on it. So they're included.
They have what?
The internal routers are embedded within the sign. So that's like you can do it from your home. So I'm not stressing on that part of it. It's more of the power to the sign.
Nicole, do you have any idea what your sign cost a month to operate at the bank?
I honestly, I'm not sure. Because we've had that sign for so long that I would have to get with our marketing department to see.
Do you know what kind of sign it is? No. Is it a Daktronics, like the one that...
I don't know what it is. It's been there since it was built. So I don't know what the sign is.
Okay. I'm just trying to compare what we know and what we don't know.
I can ask and get you that information.
But you guys can change your sign from inside or anytime you want, right?
Mm-hmm. We have one central location that changes all of our signs.
Oh, okay.
So I don't control my sign.
Somebody
the marketing department. The marketing department controls all the signs. So if I want something on the sign, I request it through her and she puts it on the sign.
So if you want something added to it, you call the marketing people. Mm-hmm. They say, okay, yes or no.
Yeah. So like certain times of the year.
And you as a manager, I'm sure they follow what you ask.
Certain times of the year, depending if there's different types of fundraisers or different things going on in the community, that I'll be asked to put it on our sign and
right.
We have no problem. You know, we don't have issues with changing the difference, you know, all the different signage each time I ask for something.
And David, as far as the regulation, signage. I think that our sign that we're talking about here is pretty close to the same square footage as
was
that.
No, yeah.
And that's what we set the planning commission, set the regulation on, based on the size.
Because I talked to Stewart Signs when I was trying to help get that bid, and we were like a 1 square foot outside of the code, but that would be an easier ask the city, say, look, we're talking 1 square foot, can we get under that? For the size at that time, that size.
I think we get the city to change the code.
No,
well, that's
the
variance.
Here, this is
a variance.
Yes.
Yeah.
We can just get a variance for one sign.
We can ask them to make some adjustments.
Rich, did they ever talk about running over a demo?
No, they didn't. He just sent us that link with the video and everything, but I mean, they're based out of Texas, though. I don't know if it'd be easy for them to come up and do a demo or not.
I just wondered because the other guys did bring one out here to look at.
Yep. And I guess I never talked to Bill about that, doing a demo of any type. He just sent me all the information and the video they had, and I told him I'd get in touch.
So these are still roughly the same size as the ones we talked about last time, correct? I mean, they're not significantly smaller.
No, this one is actually, it's...
That's larger, it's 5 feet tall.
It's 37, and the other ones were 37 inches, and the other ones were 3 foot. So they're basically all the same.
Because, again, if we... With a smaller sign, can we get the price down to still meet what we're trying to do, but not have these ginormous signs? And, you know, half the size, half the cost, maybe? I don't know. I'm trying to get away from $40,000.
Didn't you sell signs?
Exactly, which is why I have a little bit of expertise in the marketing side.
I know, but I remember you telling us how much those signs would make.
And guess what? Go back and look at my quote. I said how much they were.
You said how much revenue would bring in. Now you're telling us...
Don't put words in my mouth. I never said that. I just backed up the cost of what's quoted for the demo. That's in range. I never said I agreed with that at any point. I said that's a lot of money.
You said something about, in that discussion at that workshop, that there was that advertising is brought
up. That was something that Randy had brought up from the demo. That he, when he discussed it with the company had given a figures. That wasn't anything that Dave said. Randy had thrown that number out based off his conversation with the demo.
What I quoted was the salespeople from couples who sold the Gapple, whatever the name of it is.
Mm-hmm.
They said previous customers surveyed saw a 20% increase in net revenue based on the new sign. I said, conservatively, if we only banked on 10% increase in revenue, that's $5,000 a month or $60,000 a year additional revenue would be recognized with a sign using a conservative number of 10%. And a sign costing $40,000 and we increase our revenue by $60,000, I'd say we're money ahead.
Again, putting on my sign hat, that's based on amount of traffic that can see the sign, which is the reason I keep saying the more traffic that you can see on the highway, you're generating more traffic, which will then, that's the advertising piece. If we're advertising on this giant sign for local residents, that's not, in my opinion, going to generate that much of an increase in marketing.
Do we have any idea how many cars drive down Holiday Island Drive every day?
How many are local? Again,
We don't know those numbers.
But I bet you there are more than are on the highway that are just driving through.
Well, based on the number of Jeeps that drive through Holiday Island, I would say that there's a lot of people that are visitors that don't live here, that when there's a big event on the weekend, a substantial amount of those people, the participants, do come to Holiday Island.
And why would, again, if I'm trying to prioritize in my mind, two locations, Holiday Island, I'll have a static sign, the grill. But yet I can get Holiday Island locals and drive through traffic on the highway if I have the digital sign on the highway. I'm serving two purposes that way. The digital sign gets more traffic, hence the advertising, pointing to the static sign grill.
I think we've gotten off track. It was never about two locations. We're talking strictly about a sign at the clubhouse.
Okay. I hear you.
That's what we're talking about, right?
That's right. We're just talking about the sign at the highway, not the sign at the
if we can get this down to 20,000, I think it's no reason.
You know we can't.
I know we can't. That's right.
Well, because it's not going to work.
Not for that size.
When you're saying 20,000 20 years ago, or 25 years ago, that sign was
$15,000. It was 10,000 when we was put in per the mayor last meeting.
11.
10 or 11. Yeah.
11 grand, and it was like 12 years ago. 13 years ago.
Whatever it was, I remember him saying, Ken Brown saying about 15,000 by then they got done.
And if you were gonna do it on the highway, I mean, the ideal place to be put it would be at the entrance.
Which is why I was asking, where is the right place to do it?
I mean, if you got rid of that Holiday Island sign at the entrance and then put a...
That's, and again, that's where I'm envisioning. Point this way.
But here's also the other problem is if you put it at the entrance and you put an LED sign there, people that are stopped at that stop sign at night, is it gonna glare off their window and they can't see?
They have a sign there already.
Yeah, but it's just lit. It's not sparkly.
We don't have to have it sparkly at night. Anyway, the reason I'm saying if we're gonna spend that kind of money, let's do it right the first time. That's all I'm trying to say.
We'll get it right. We gotta have something at the clubhouse. I was there the other day when two people on a motorcycle drove up and they asked where the golf course, where the restaurant was. And you can verify this if you would come and sit there for how many cars go by. These two people want to know where the restaurant was. They stopped at the golf course. We said it's right here. Now you tell me if a sign wouldn't help.
I'm not saying that we shouldn't have a sign. Does it have to be a digital, you know, $40,000 sign out front of the restaurant? And I disagree with that.
Okay. Yeah. Let's move on. I think the golf tournament charity events, we've gotten that ironed out. It's a moot issue. Rich, you want to bring us up to date on the logs on the 18 hole?
So if you noticed on the 2 tee box and around the backside there, we've got some wild pigs that are tearing stuff up. And I didn't want anybody to go think that Tyler was just tearing that up for reseeding. They've done some pretty good damage. They have not been back. They were back there twice and did that damage there. And so far, knock on wood, they have not been back.
Have you got an idea what they're looking for?
Grubs.
Grubs and food.
We were there yesterday and there was new stuff. There was new I'm there every day.
Yep.
And there was new stuff that was tore up in the last day or so right there.
Right, and say at 2G
box.
Yep.
It's all tore up.
So we're spraying for grubs now. We're spraying for skunks because as I was sitting out there the other day putting in new credit card machines, there was a skunk right there at the number one tee box. So we're, and I tried calling it in, but it wouldn't come to me. So we're spraying for skunks and grubs now. So I just want everybody to know that the hogs are back. They're down in there around the driving range or the trail or something like that. In Arkansas law, if they're on your property, you can shoot them anytime you want. It says clearly on Arkansas law, if they're on your property. I
shot a couple in my place.
I tried looking up the regulations for the Holiday Island because you cannot shoot deer in Holiday Island. So there's that little thin line. But if they're going to, I mean, I can't tell you to go out and do anything, but we got to know they're there and we got to prevent them from coming and tearing up our stuff.
Can the DNR set traps for us?
I can get a hold of them and talk to them.
That's our next step is to contact the DNR.
More than likely, the DNR is going to come in and say, change your regulations to shoot the dang things. But then again,
who's going to sit out there all night hunting them?
Yeah, and you don't want people shooting off their back deck towards somebody else's back deck. So that is not a good idea either. So yeah, I'll have to get a hold of the DNR and see.
Well, the other day, it was about 6 o'clock. My brother-in-law from Nebraska came, and we were looking, standing there between the garage and there by the walkway. Down by my garden, here was a great big hog right there. And if I'd have been around, I keep a gun at both doors, okay? And I do it for a purpose. I've shot two of them there, and I've shot years ago, three years ago, I shot 3 or 4 of them. There was they trapped 30. I could hear them every morning. When I was building that garage, you could hear them every morning, ripping up. I suppose they were some sow was in heat, and the boars were fighting. I mean, they do that all the time now. You could sit up there a lot of times in the middle of the day. You'll hear them ripping and going up out there. So, like I say, if I'd have been there on my back deck, I'd have got him. But he was trying to get, but I have a 5-wire electric fence. He was trying to get in that electric fence and to get in that garden.
Yeah, and from my experience, they're most active at dusk.
Yeah, this was 6 o'clock. But I get them on the camera at night lots of times out there.
So can I interject? Because we, sure. In the Missouri I'm on the Missouri side, but we have issues with wild hogs and we also raise hogs. So it has a tendency to bring them in. What, and we talked with, and it's the Department of Conservation on the Missouri side, but they will come in and they will trap, and they tell you they prefer to go ahead and do it that way, because otherwise you're just scattering them and pushing them somewhere else. And because we have the issue there, we don't want them to move somewhere else onto the course and go ahead and create that as a problem. But our experience on the Missouri side is they are very cooperative, and they'll come out, they will set up a pen, they'll trap them, and they'll take care of them.
Well, they had one, and they got 30 of them down there to go to my place. I mean, they trap traffic back and forth here, there all the time. But now that I see that they're on the golf course, and they're tearing up things there, we need to maybe set out there at night, take a tree stand, sit there, and bait them. That's what the guy told me, just bait them, they'll come back.
Well, that's what the conservation department did. They ended up coming in, and they actually set up some cameras on our property, too, to watch and see how many there actually were in the area, and they did. They used corn set out there, set up the traps right there, and was able to take out quite a few. So we haven't had issues with them since then. We had tried before shooting them, like what you were talking about, and after, well, there ended up being four pretty significant-sized boars, but like I said, we raise show pigs, so anytime we had a female in heat, then it would draw them in. So even though we shot those, there were still multiple ones that came in and that they were able to track and take out.
Well, I know I called a guy from Louisiana that owns all that property right behind me. He's not in, that's not in Holiday. My property line is no longer at right with 25 yards from the back of my house. It's no longer Holiday Island. It's not in the city limits. And so he said, yeah, you can shoot whatever you want back there. He said, we do hunt deer back there, because I asked him about deer hunting too. And he said, no, I just, our son, I'll call you when we get our deer, but they haven't been up here for 4 or 5 years.
I think our next step is to contact the DNR, good experts, and let them come out and give us advice if they can set up some traps. I think we're money and time to hit.
Got it.
Moving on. Rich, what's the status of the tractor that's parked up there at State Line?
They moved it 2 weeks ago. It's not there anymore.
Oh, okay. I've been on vacation, so.
Yeah, that's the VersaBoom that got rear-ended.
Right.
And then Bill is, Birch, our insurance adjuster, and Joe are now waiting for pictures to see the damage. Then we're going to get estimates on it and see what it's going to take to get fixed, if it's even fixable, yeah.
I'm just told.
That's what I'm thinking too. So yeah, that's where we're with it. Once again, hurry up and wait for insurance company.
Do you know when they're gonna start the satellite imagery? Have we heard anything update on that?
Nope, we made payment and everything on it, and now we're just, me and Dan are in contact with them, and they're getting everything set up for it, so that way we can move forward.
Okay.
I'm kinda excited to see it. And also, we had a management meeting on the UV project last week. So
okay.
Jake will be here either day or tomorrow, and they're going to start on that. So that'll be started this week too.
Good.
What's the estimated time frame for them to complete?
Year.
Good.
Yeah, literally a year. They're thinking 6 weeks, if even that. So.
Varying away from our agenda because it's rather short, but it's a work session. But Rich, you and I both got emails, and I don't know if the rest of the board did or not, about the water billing. The city would like to put the garbage fee on a water bill. But being we have the only software for the water billing, the city would like to somehow work out an arrangement to pay HICID to send out the trash bill on the water bill monthly.
And I sent that to Matt and Jennifer, and they both came back to me with, we cannot intermingle funds between the city and the HICID. So
that's kind of where I thought this was headed.
Yep, and we can't do anything. And I've got all the information gathered up. I was going to send it to Dan, too. But we cannot intermingle funds between the city and the SID.
Well, I think the easiest thing would be the city to take over the water department, and they wouldn't have to worry about it.
That's the other option.
That's the cleanest option, is they just take over the water park.
While we're on that kind of similar note, can...
Sure.
Okay, so the status of the boundary survey for the road department?
Yeah, I might have a talk with Dan about that, so... Well, here's my thoughts. We don't need a boundary study. We own the property. Our businesses are there. It's not going to benefit us to spend money on a boundary survey. So if they want to take it over, the city can pay for a boundary survey to see where they sit. My thoughts.
My only counter to that is it's hard for us to negotiate with the city on transferring roads and infrastructure and everything else if we don't even know whether our road department is within the state of Arkansas. So, I mean...
Wait, the road department or the water department?
Road department.
That's my question, because again, I'm seeing...
You can literally look at two different maps, and one shows that the road department is not in the state of Arkansas, and another map shows that half the sewer plant is not in the state of Arkansas.
I didn't see the sewer department. I didn't know that was an issue with the road.
Well, the road department building is... pretty much almost guaranteed,
yes,
to be in Missouri. But that goes back to the water park. Because again, we're hearing and we're seeing two different things, but what we need, since we currently own the property, I would argue that we should be doing the boundary survey because they don't own it yet. Or won't have it yet. So how would we negotiate saying, hey, we'll transfer roads, infrastructure, personnel, and everything to the city, but we're not sure if we own it.
Exactly. And
I think another issue that can come up legally with Matt is if in plain view for the last 7 to 10 years you've maintained and it's been your property through eminent domain, it becomes your property because you've maintained it. There's been no dispute over that property in the last 10 years. That if they did do it, it would automatically become a part of Tyson.
It just gets a lot more messy. We're dealing with two different states. And so that's where I would rather, a boundary survey typical boundary survey, that's what we're really talking about, boundary survey. The water department and the road department boundary survey, whatever those one or two parcels are, just do a boundary survey and get it in writing. Once we know, then we know how to proceed forward, you know. So it's hard because the way I see this playing out, if we're going to try and pass the roads and infrastructure and transfer personnel to the city, until we have that done and we know for a fact, then we would just have to take the road department. Well, no, if it could be the water sewer too, then we really do need this survey.
Well, then I think what we need to do is investigate what that survey costs, and it ought to be a split between the HISA and the city to pay for it. It shouldn't be incumbent solely on HISA.
I still think it would be. And they were talking, because we own it. They don't own it, and they may never own it. That's my point. So why would they come in on it? And if I was doing this as a private party with a buyer seller, do you think I'd say, hey, you pay half of it, and you may not get it, but I need you to pay half of the survey? I'd say, tax hand, and you pay for it. You want to sell the property, you do it.
But I'm not selling the property.
We're giving it.
But it's in our. But it's in. In our best interest, we think, maybe.
Didn't they tell us when we were looking at all that they had stakes for the property line up there?
Well, I could put a stake out tomorrow, and it doesn't mean it's legal.
No, but there is stakes out there.
And that's what we're doing.
Is the property line.
And that's why we're. And that's why we're thinking,
survey.
But that's why we're thinking it may or may not be in Missouri or not.
Do you have any idea of the cost?
Yeah, boundary survey for that size of parcel, maybe $1,500 to $2,000.
$500 for a survey.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's not...
That's what it is, $500.
Right, but I don't know if it's one or two parcels. Is it two parcels there, or is it...
Sure. David, let me ask you this. Because you're on the roads committee.
Yeah.
How soon does that need to be done, and is it incumbent on us moving forward?
I think it is incumbent on us moving forward, because... where the infrastructure for the road department currently resides there. So could we lease it to the city, just the road department, whatever, lot, Yes, that's kind of our interim step, but if we could get it defined on whether or not we do own it or not, and whether it is residing in Missouri, at least we know how to proceed forward.
I guess where I'm going is, if everything else were positive of moving forward, and this was the last thing.
I would say lease it to them until we can figure out what to do.
I just don't know that at this point, it is a real high priority in moving forward.
It's a high enough priority that the mayor is making it high, because he reached out to me and he's like, hey, where's the status? So we had talked about it at one of our meetings, one of our open meetings, to say, hey, could go research and do looking how much a parental survey would cost. I think it was two meetings ago that we did. And so the mayor asked me, hey, what's the status? Have you got any bids back or you know, any contracts to do with the boundary survey? And I was on vacation last week, so I don't know.
Okay, let me play devil's advocate. What if part of our property is in Missouri? Then what? Are we opening a can of worms that we don't really want to?
Bad news doesn't get better with time, is what I would say. So, you know, there has to be a result. There has to be, we petitioned to Missouri saying, hey, what do you need if we want to sell this? And it'll be a Missouri property that we sell to the city. You know, so.
And at this time right now, there are no maps that accurately display what that property is.
Not that I've seen.
Just the survey maps or?
The large scale.
Yeah. And what the deal was, back in the day when the developer came in, he owned that peninsula that went from Arkansas into Missouri, and he didn't think anything about it and just built.
It's not an immediate concern. Again, I don't think it's an immediate concern because we do own the property. We've been using it. Missouri hasn't said anything yet. But if we have to move forward, and I think we would just have to lease it. That's the interim step. Lease it to the city, saying, okay, you can use our
not selling. If we just talk to Missouri.
Well, what are you talking about selling? Because
it's already our property after 10 years, guys. I don't know if you know anything about eminent domain, but that's a fact.
And you're correct, Doug. You are very correct on that.
Right.
The problem is state line.
The state line.
Yeah, right.
That's the biggest problem.
Have we ever gotten a property tax bill from Missouri? Okay.
See?
Let's move on. Boat slips. Colin came in and gave us a presentation a couple weeks ago about adding 10 boat slips to Dock 4 and 6 to Dock 3. And I'm just asking, is there any further discussion about adding slips at $100,000 for 10 slips?
Now that, I think, is a waste of money. For $100,000. We can't even pay for those slips in 15 years.
Well, he was talking like a 10-year payment.
You know,
figure the interest.
I think at this point, discussions about different things to add and whatnot is kind of moot until we have an idea of what our budget's going to look like.
I agree. I just want to get it out there that we talked about it.
Right, no, and it's, I think it's a discussion at a later date at this point, just because I just feel like we're going to end up in this round and round circle where there's no point, there's no end to it, because we don't even know where we're at budget-wise.
I think there's bigger fish to fry than adding 10 slips this year, perhaps next year or year after.
Or if anything, it would be half a slip or something, if we were discussing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So food for thought, you got the budget that we're going to go through, but let's look at the future of Holiday Island, and we're going with the roads and everything else. What is going to become of that marina when the city takes stuff over?
Well, I think it'll be probably incorporated in the Parks Department of the city.
Okay.
Having been in on several of these meetings, kind of like they would have to absorb it, and it would be part of the Parks Department, same as the golf course.
Yeah,
and I don't know that the city is really figured out what's going to happen with the amenities. We talked about the fire department, the water department, and all the other ones. But as far as the actual amenities, how the city's going to handle those? I don't know, but I don't think anybody knows.
I haven't discussed it.
I don't think it's even been...
You probably haven't even thought about the discussion on it.
Well, I think they have, I think...
Not in a council meeting, we have not discussed it.
Nope.
Okay.
I mean, there's been thoughts of it, and there's been just talks, you know, what could happen, but we do not know anything about the amenities when things move further in the future.
Very well.
So basically for the, I know we have like a wish list of items, like we need to have, or wish we need, like the water tower maintenance contract, wish list of having, you know, signage, wish list, and or actually requirement for having the UV project and all this other stuff. So is that budget going to take these wish lists? For instance, if we had the wish list of the half a slip or all the boats list, is that going to be incorporated in the budget that you're going to present to say, here's what we have, must do, and then we're going to have, here's some extra capital improvement funds that we can finance X, Y, you know, the Versa Boom, et cetera, et cetera?
Yep, and what we'll do is we'll go through, we'll do the main budget lines, and then we'll do the capital improvements. Another tractor, mower for the street departments, utility carts for the golf maintenance, sign, we can put sign underneath golf and restaurant. There'll be all the capital improvements, and then where we can find the money if we have ability to, and then it'll be our bottom line. And the bottom line is after all the general's done and everybody's budgets is done, then we do the capital improvements, and we have a $160,000 deficit in our budget because of capital improvements, then we have to decide what we can and cannot move forward with. Or if we can take and lower the percentage, use the bonds, and make it work. Because at the end of the day, it's always got to be a zero budget. We're not doing that $800,000 negative budget again.
Thank you.
And by the way, I was reading the, are we talking about the hog thing? That's on hole number two. That's not on, it says the 18th hole.
I was just letting you know, it was at the 18th hole, not the 9th hole.
Because I said, I've never seen anything on activity on the 18th hole.
Yep, nope, it's the 18th hole golf course, hole number two.
Okay, good, okay. Now it makes sense.
Customer, Commissioner comments.
May I ask one quick question?
Well, sure, go ahead, Bart.
I don't know. Are we sure?
Public comments?
Just since you're talking about the budget and everything, a follow-up from your last meeting or so about the decking at the pool, is that going to be discussed in the budget process, how we're going to fix that?
First off, we're going to get a hold of the company that sold it to us and see what their liability in fixing the situation is going to be. Because it should have been sold to us without bubbling issues. So we're going to go after the manufacturer, see what they got to do, and then we'll have to move forward with that.
Okay, that was my curiosity.
I want to go after the manufacturer first to make them fix it, make it right, before we fork out more money.
Thank you.
Any other public comments? Commissioner comments?
So I saw that we, Heisett sent out the notifications for the letters that went out for the elections. So that was good.
So it's the third.
It's October 20th at 6 p.m. is the nominations.
Monday.
I guess it must be the third.
Third Monday?
Third Monday.
Third Monday of the month is the nomination.
It's 23rd, wasn't it? Yeah.
20th? Yes, the third Monday of October, the 20th, at 6 p.m.
Yep.
Which we have a work session the same day.
Yep.
And then we'll come back for the nominations at 6 o'clock. Okay.
Okay, thanks.
Carolyn, you were out of the room. Did you have any comments you want to make?
No, I'm looking forward to maybe getting a lower bid on a sign, but some of these others you said it wasn't all inclusive, it wasn't a turnkey.
Yeah.
What would they do? the lower bid, what would they do for a turnkey job? Would they?
Well, some of them are add in there with the, they have, well, one company was gonna get us in touch with electrician, and then we'd have to get a bid from that electrician. Some of them did have, some of, we take the old sign down and then have to rebuild the brackets for them to hang their new sign. Some of it was in-house that we'd have to do, but then the other one was going to send us contractors to get bids for the electrical part.
Is the in-house stuff a problem, or is just time consuming?
Just time and materials.
Okay.
Rich, how many bids do we have currently?
For the sign?
Yeah.
Four? One, two, three, four, five. Five now.
Okay.
Three companies, five bids, because one company gave us several different sizes.
My point is, we've met the three bid.
Yes.
Requirement. Let's go to the conference, I move that we adjourn.
I'll second it.
It's been moved and seconded, this meeting's adjourned.